Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 5. We're going to be in Exodus 5 and 6 this morning. How many of you have ever had a mountaintop experience? That's what I think Moses has just come off of, is a mountaintop experience. I know I've had that before, and for me, it was most of the time it's been coming home from a women's retreat. Sometimes it's a women's conference that I've been to, or sometimes maybe even just in my personal devotions. And it's when you've heard a word from the Lord, you know without a doubt He's told you to do something, and you're excited. You want to do this thing that the Lord's asked you to do, and it's exciting just to hear from the Lord and to know what He wants you to do in your life. And so I think Moses has come off the mountain. He's literally come down off the mountain and heard from the Lord. He knows that God is commissioning him and that he is going to be the one to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. And he's excited about that. You know, his heart just goes out to his people, and he wants to see them taken out of this bondage. And so he's excited. He wants to put feet to his faith, and he wants to do exactly what God's called him to do. And I think he's so excited to go in and start this thing. Little does Moses know, and this is the title of my message, that he is in for a bad day. Moses has a bad day. Every year I go to the women's retreat, I always ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Show me, teach me, speak to me. Show me what it is you want me to do. And then every year I hear from him, regardless. If you ask the Lord and tell him you want to hear from him, you are going to hear from him. And so I leave that place. You know, I've spent a whole weekend before the Lord in prayer, in his word, hearing messages from women that he has spoke to that are sharing his word with me. And I'm so excited to go home. And you come home and life hasn't changed. Life is the same at home. And you meet oppositions and you run into things that you never expected. And you think, what's happening? I know that God's asked me to do this thing and I want to do it, but it's not working the way I thought it would. And that's what's happening with Moses here. Moses, right off the bat in chapter 5, Moses is obedient. He does what God's asked him to do. Let's look at chapter 5 in verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. I believe as Moses went in there, he was excited. This is exactly the word that God's told me to say, and I'm saying it, and today's going to be the day. God's going to let the children go. He's going to release them. But that's not what happened. And if you look with me in verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And this is where Moses' good day goes bad. Now he's like, wait a minute, this isn't right. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. It is what God told him was going to happen, but it isn't what Moses thought would happen. Pharaoh and his people thought that Pharaoh was a god. They believed Pharaoh was a god, and they worshipped many gods. They worshipped the sun god because they saw that the sun rose every morning faithfully and set every evening, and they worshipped the sun. They worshipped the creation, but not the creator. Isn't that how we see it today in our world? We see just in so many ways. You can see in commercials, on the news, you see how people today, they're worshiping the creator, but the creation, but not the creator. And that's what Pharaoh was doing and his people. Basically, everything to them was a god except the one true God. That's the one God that they didn't know. Have you ever done exactly what the Lord's told you to do only to meet opposition? I have. And the one time that really sticks out in my mind was before Brad and I got married. And we went through premarriage counseling. And in that, they want you to talk about children. And what do you plan to do in having your children? What is your plan? And Brad and I really prayed and sought the Lord. And we knew that once we had children, that I would stay home. I would stay home and take care of the kids. And so we were ready. This is what we want to do. We know that this is what God's asked us to do, and we're ready to do it. And we had a 2-year plan that we prayed about, but it wasn't God's plan. And 3 years into our marriage, I found out I was expecting. And I thought, wait a minute, we have a two-year plan. You know, we want to get married. We both had jobs. We wanted to save money and put money in the bank and be able to buy a house and have a house before we have kids. And I can't do it this way if I'm already expecting. But you know what? God had a different plan. But just because God's plan was different than mine, I still needed to be obedient. So I had my baby, and I quit my job and stayed home, and I pretty much figured, you know, this is going to be good because God's asked me to do it. I had no doubt about that, and I had faith in the Lord, and I knew that he was going to see me through this and that he had a plan. And, you know, how can you not be excited? You get to stay home from work. You don't have to get up every morning and go to work anymore. You have this beautiful baby to stay home and to play with and to take care of. You get to, you know, clean the house for your husband, cook the meals for your husband. I loved everything about it, but it wasn't exactly the way I thought it would be again because things weren't smooth. Things didn't go the way I thought they would again. We met opposition. We had doubt. We had fear. We had financial difficulties because of that. But it was what the Lord asked us to do, and we knew we had to be obedient in it, and we knew without a doubt that we had to stick it out, and we had to continue to keep in prayer and do what the Lord had asked us to do. What is it today that the Lord's asked you to do? Has he asked you maybe to go to an unsaved family member and to share the gospel? Has he asked you to give up something? Maybe it's an addiction to something. Maybe it's watching a show or watching a movie that you shouldn't be watching, or that maybe it's not even necessarily bad, but he's asking you to stop. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe you feel like, I just can't do this anymore. You know what? God put you and your husband together, and he's asking you to stay in obedience, and he's asking you to follow through. Maybe it's not the plan you have, and it's not going the way you wanted it to go. Sometimes when we get married, we have Cinderella thoughts, and we think that everything's going to be beautiful. He's our knight in shining armor, and he truly is, lady. He is your knight in shining armor. He's the one that God's given you. But things get rough. Things get hard. We live in a world of people who don't believe in God. We live in a world that says, it's okay to get a divorce. Go ahead. Everybody does it. And then you'll find someone else who can meet your needs and take care of you the way you need to be taken care of. Maybe the Lord's asked you to take care of an elderly parent or maybe a sick family member, and it's a huge commitment, and the Lord's asked you to do this. But again, maybe things aren't going the way you thought they would go. God has a plan, and he's faithful, and he's going to see you through it. Like I said, we've struggled many times financially, and I remember one time we had just bought our home, and you know, when you buy a home, you just run out of money. There's just no money left. And we had this one thing that was due that we needed to pay and just thought, how are we going to do this? I don't know how we're going to do it. And so Brad and I went before the Lord and we prayed and we just gave it to him and said, you know what? If he wants us to pay it, he's going to help us. He's going to show us. And then we thought, you know, the kids are getting old enough now. Let's bring it before them and ask them to pray so that they can see what God will do. And so we prayed. And the day before the money was due, we got a check in the mail that we had no idea we would ever get. And it was for 6 cents more than what we owed. So we had 6 cents in our pocket. But you know what? That's what God does. When we think, this isn't right. This isn't working out. If we go before him and we pray, he will be faithful and he will be just to do exactly what he has said. We're not promised that everything's going to be perfect and that everything is going to go the way we want it to go. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus tells us, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Moses was insecure about his abilities. He thought, I can't do this. And he probably thought to himself, where'd I go wrong? I went in and said what the Lord told me to say. But Moses was forgetting some of God's plan. He was forgetting some of the words that God had said to him. Are you thinking that way? Have you maybe lost sight of what it is that God's told you to do, the plan that God has for your life? Have you lost sight of that? If you have, go before him and ask him to remind you and encourage you and to give you that excitement and that zeal again, and he will. maybe for that unsafe family member. I know people who have prayed years and years for family members. I know my father-in-law, we shared with him, oh, I couldn't even tell you how many years, but it wasn't until the week that he passed away that he accepted the Lord. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up. Again, God has a plan. One thing we need to remember is Ephesians 6:12. It tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Like Pharaoh, we are all around us are unbelieving people. And again, they're telling us that we can do these things and that it's okay. But you know what? Those are lies from the enemy, and we need to call it what it is. We need to call it a lie. And how do we counteract that lie that the enemy's telling us? You know, you can be in worship and just hear the things that he's telling you. Don't believe him. The way that you get rid of those things is by staying in the Word of God, by praying, and by worshiping him. There was a time in my life when my kids, I had five little ones. I had my daughter would have been in second grade. I had one in kindergarten, and I had two in diapers and a toddler. And I just thought, I can't do this anymore. This is crazy. And there were days when I just thought I was going to pull my hair out. So what I did is I left my Bible open, whether on the coffee table or the kitchen table, I left my Bible open. And when I felt like all I was doing was disciplining, and we don't want to discipline our children. It's hard for us, but we need to. But I just felt discouraged, like, this is never going to end. I would go to God's Word and read his Word. And maybe it didn't apply exactly to what I was going through at that moment, but I can tell you it always gave me comfort. It always gave me strength. And he helped me to persevere by being in his Word and just taking that time, just even that moment, just to read a verse or two, whatever he's put on your heart at that moment. That will encourage you and that will keep you going. I also want to encourage you there, in the bookstore, you can get some little promise books, and in there, there's promises, and they're categorized according to what it is you're going through. If you're in despair, if you need strength to overcome an addiction, whatever it is, you can go in this little promise book under your category, and it'll give you the exact scripture that applies to what you're going through, and that can be very encouraging, too. Like Pharaoh, the world will tell you, again, it's okay. Get a divorce. Find someone else who'll meet your needs. Or, you know, there are nursing homes that you could put your parents in. Or, you know what, go ahead and get a job. You're struggling financially. You can take care of that. Get a job. That's what the world wants us to believe. But we need to remember what God told us in the beginning, because God never changes. He's not going to change his mind. If you've gone to him in prayer, if you've sought him in his Word and in prayer, he'll tell you exactly what it is he wants you to do. And maybe he wants you to do those things. I'm not telling you that any of those are wrong, but make sure it's what God wants you to do. Hebrews 13:5-6 tells us, "For God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" It's in times like these that we need to go before the Lord in prayer. And that's the next thing we see, is that Moses went to the Lord in prayer. If you'll look with me in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. "So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all.'" Not only was Moses receiving opposition from Pharaoh, but now he's receiving it from the children of Israel. Remember back in chapter 4, right before Moses goes into Pharaoh, he and Aaron spoke with the children of Israel, and they told them everything that God had shared with Moses. They knew what God's plan was, and if you remember, God told them that Pharaoh wouldn't say okay the first time, but they forgot. They took their eyes off the Lord. But Moses knew exactly what to do. He took his problems before the Lord. Moses questioned the Lord. And, you know, I've wondered before, is it okay to question the Lord? And we can see in Scripture, we have different examples that it is okay to question the Lord, but we need to be careful how we question the Lord. If you look back in the book of Luke, where the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to bear a son, and she questions the angel and says, but how can this be? I've never been with a man. But then she says, let it be unto me as you have said. And she also ponders those things in her heart. She questioned him, but she was obedient. And she said, let it be to me as you have said. But then if you look in the book of Luke where Zacharias, the angel comes to him and tells him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a baby, he questions God with disbelief. He questions him like, how can this be? And we don't know the whole story, but the thing we do know is that he was mute for the whole time of the pregnancy, and that was a punishment for him because of his disbelief. So it's okay to question the Lord, but we need to make sure we're not questioning him by accusing him or being disrespectful or having that disbelief. We need to believe that God is going to do what he says. The most important thing for us to do is to go to our knees and pour out our hearts to our Heavenly Father. He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to run to His ever-loving arms and share with Him everything that's on our heart. He already knows it. We can't hide from Him. We can maybe try. You know the old saying, you can run, but you can't hide? That's exactly true with the Lord. You can run from Him all you want, but you can't hide from Him. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling, and He knows where you're at. And He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. Matthew 11:28, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He wants us to give our burdens to Him, and He will give us rest. Where is it that we turn when we're having problems or when we want an answer to something? I know even for me, a lot of times I think, I'm having a problem and I want an answer and I want an answer now. I might get on the phone and call my husband, or I might call a friend or my sister. Maybe you have a Christian counselor that you see and you want an answer right now. And none of them are bad in and of themselves. We need to have people in our lives that are spiritually mature that we can go to for wisdom and for advice and who can keep us accountable on a daily basis. But we need to run to the Lord first and foremost. Who loves us more than anybody? It's the Lord. And who has greater wisdom than anybody could ever give us? It's the Lord. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, so let us come boldly to the very throne of God and stay there to receive His mercy and to find grace to help us in our times of need. It's to the Lord we need to run to, ladies, not to each other, not to find an answer so quickly from one another. We need to know what the Lord's telling us. We need to know what He wants us to do. You know, I have someone very close to me, and she was over the other day, and she was sharing with me, and she's really going through a hard time right now, and she had wanted to get some advice, and so we talked, and we shared, and, you know, she knows that we are praying for her constantly in this situation. And then I shared with her, I said, you know, if you ever want to come over and talk to Brad, or you can make an appointment with him at work and go in and talk to him, you know, he would love to do that. And she said, you know, I thought about that the other day on Saturday. She said, I was going to come over and I was just going to scream, Brad, help me. I don't know what to do. She said, and then I stopped and I thought, no, that's not what I need to do. I need to go in my room and close the door and get on my knees and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I handle this person? What do you want me to do in this situation? And I was so blessed by her response, because that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to run to Him. There's no one in the world who can give us greater wisdom than the Lord. When the weight of the world, you just feel like it's crashing in around you and there's nothing you can do, that's the best time, because that's when you'll see the Lord showing you His glory. That's when He'll come through for you. That's when He'll show you what He can do. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to give all our worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. You know, in Matthew, it also tells us that even the very hairs on our head are numbered. He knew us before we were ever born. And he wants to share those times with us, and he wants to teach us, and he wants to love us. The next thing we see, we're going to go into chapter 6, and the next thing we see is that God keeps his promises. And I love how chapter 6 begins. I'll tell you that as I was working on this message, I hadn't gotten to chapter 6 yet. I had read it many, many times, but it didn't speak to me like it did this week, because I had a really rough week and things weren't going the way I thought they would go. I had this message to do, and I knew that I had this message. I've had it for a long time, and the Lord has given me time to go before him and to pray and to seek him and to know what it is that he wanted me to know and to do in this message. And so I read chapter 6, verse 1 many times in the last couple months, but this week it really spoke to me. Let's read it together. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land." And that's what the Lord spoke to me. I was at the end of myself, and I had a bad week. I had things happening left and right. And I thought, "Lord, you know I have this message to do, and I'm not getting it done, and it's not getting done." I had a deadline of when I wanted it done so that I could go over it more and study more and just sit before him more. But you know what? He knew when he wanted it done and I needed to give it to him. And then he said, "Now you will see what I will do with this message." And that was exciting to be able to live what the Lord is teaching me. In verse 2, "And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord.'" He's reminding him again, "Moses, remember, you've forgotten, you've taken your eyes off of me. I'm the Lord, and I have a plan, and I shared it with you back on the mountain, don't you remember? And I'm going to do this thing." And it's the same for us today. He reminds me constantly. I've been home now for 23 years with my kids, and my youngest is 13, so I still have at least 5 more years to go unless God tells me something different. That's a long time, and I forget. I forget so easily what the Lord's told me to do, and there are times when I think, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have a job. Sometimes it's because of finances I want to get the job, and sometimes it's just because I think the grass is greener on the other side, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, God needs to remind me on a daily basis I have a bad memory. And my kids love to tease me about it. They're always telling me, "Mom, don't you remember I told you yesterday?" And I think, "Oh, no, I don't remember." And sometimes I look at them like, "Oh, you're crazy. I don't remember that. I never heard that." And then they remind me, "No, Mom, you're crazy, because we did tell you yesterday." And they can all gather and say, "Yeah, they told you yesterday." So there's more of them than there is me. So I always believe them. And I hope I'm right in believing them. But you know what? God is so faithful to remind us and to tell us what his promises are, what he said he will do, and he will be faithful to do it. 2 Peter 1:4. "Whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises." The Lord has given us wonderful promises. And one thing we can count on is that he's not going to fall and waver in his promises. My kids of all, we have had so many pets through the years. But one of the pets we have that is, we all just love her dearly, is our little dog. And her name is Hannah. And actually, my daughter petitioned for this dog. She's probably 9 years old now, and my daughter wanted her so bad. And then the boys got on the bandwagon. "Yeah, we want a dog too. And Mom, we promise we'll take turns. Every day we're going to feed her, and we're going to give her water, and we're going to brush her, and we're going to take her outside." Well, guess who feeds her and who waters her and who takes her outside? Mommy does. But you know what? They did fall through on their promises. And you, maybe it's your husband. Maybe your husband will fall through on a promise that he's given to you. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe a coworker. I don't know who it would be. But you know what? We're all human. And we do sin. And we do fall through on our promises sometimes. But God will never fall through on his promises. He's faithful and just. And he will always do what he says he's going to do. The one thing we need to remember is that God's timing is not our timing, and he'll do it when he knows it's right and when he knows what's best for us. That's what he has in mind, is our best. And that's what he had in mind for the children of Israel and for Moses and for Aaron, was their best. I like what Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. We know that God has everything in his hands. He holds it right there, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And I just want to encourage you to remember that when you're going through a hard time. Remember, God has your best interest in mind, and he has beautiful timing for everything that he has planned for you. All he asks is that we put our faith and our trust in him. He is faithful to all generations. Psalm 105 tells us, "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." He's the same God today that he was back in Moses' day, and he will continue to be the same God forever, and he will do what he says he will do. Verses 1 through 8 in chapter 6 have 4 I am statements and 8 I will statements. In the I am statements, God is reminding us that he is Lord, that he is God, he is Jehovah, Yahweh. And then in the I will statements, the Lord reminds us, and these should be so encouraging for us today, because the Lord reminds Moses what he's going to take them out of and what their future holds. And the Lord does the same for us today. He reminds us of what he's going to take us out of and what our future holds. First, let's look at the I am statements. In verse 2, the Lord says, "I am the Lord." In verse 6, again, he says, "I am the Lord." And then in verse 7, he says, "I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." God will bring us out from under those burdens. And then in verse 8, he says again, "I am the Lord." He continues to remind us again and again. The I am statements remind me in the Gospel of John of the 7 I am statements of Jesus. He says, "I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life." And also in John 8:58, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." He hasn't changed. He's still faithful. He's still the great I am. But how often we forget. Next, we see the I will statements. And again, in the I will statements, the Lord is reminding Moses of what he said he would do. I like what Roger Ellsworth says in his commentary, Moses. He says, "When the I am says I will, there can be no room for doubt or discouragement. You can trust him. You can believe him. He's faithful to do what he says." The I will statements also remind me of our salvation. We are saved from the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, but our future holds the fellowship with God through Christ, eternal security in Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, eternal glory in heaven. It can't be any better than that. And that should be extremely encouraging for us today. He's reminding us of what our future holds. Look with me, if you will, in verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read those verses to you. "So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land.' And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, 'The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips.' And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." God reminded Moses of what he was going to take them out of and what he was going to bring them to, and then he said, "Do it." Now he's asking them to put feet to their faith and to do it. And that's what the Lord's asking of us. "I've told you what I'm going to do. My promises are true. Now I want you to go and I want you to do it." You know, again, Moses has his doubts and he says, the children didn't listen to me. How then is Pharaoh going to listen to me? And he reminds the Lord again that he feels that he's of uncircumcised lips, that he can't say the things that God wants him to say. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. For me, I'm not a good speaker. God didn't choose me because I'm so eloquent of speech. He chose me because he loves me. He's chosen you because he loves you. And whatever it is he's asking you to do, whatever it is he's asking you to say, he's going to give you those words, and you can believe that he will. Hebrews 13:8, I've made reference to this verse a couple times. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever, to the end of the ages. He's the same always, and he will continue to help you and be there for you. Maybe you are sitting there today and you're thinking, you know, I've never had the Lord tell me what I should do or where I should go, and I don't really know anything about that. You know what? That's exciting, because today you can go before the Lord and you can ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to say? And he will be faithful to give you that answer. If you will stay in his word, if you will stay in fellowship and communion with him, he will be faithful to tell you what it is he wants you to do. Maybe you're here today and like Pharaoh, you don't know this God. You don't know God who created the universe, and you don't know how to worship him, and you don't know that he loves you. I'm here to tell you that he does love you. With all of his heart, he loves you, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross. One of the promises that we're given is in Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all you have to do, is pray and ask that you tell the Lord that you want him to live in you, to be your Lord, to be your God, and to be your Savior, and he will be faithful and just to do that. He wants you to come to him today. Whatever the Lord told you in the beginning, whatever it is he's commissioned you to do, or whatever it is he may commission you to do today or tomorrow, you can trust him and know that he will see you through. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you. It is so powerful. And Lord, you speak to us through that. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, that you don't leave us alone, and that you tell us in your word you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, if there's anyone here today, I pray that they don't know you, that you would touch their hearts. Father, that they would seek out their leader or one of us up front here to pray with them and just to share what it is that they're desiring in their life, to know you more or to accept you into their life. Father, I pray that you would give them that boldness to come forward and to do that, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray for the groups as they go into their groups, Lord, that you would just bless them, that you would do a mighty work in those groups today, Father, that you would knit them together, and Lord, that they would be able to share with one another the words that you have given to them this week. And Lord, again, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.